Now, there's three teams. Oh, I was playing, thinking basketball. Oh, my gosh, that's gone. Whew, all right. Three themes in this text that I like to talk about. One is light. The second is the familial connection that is involved here. And the third is the issue of listening. Now, there's a song that is called Papa, Can You Hear Me? Maybe some of you will remember this from back in the 80s, the movie Yento.
Yep.
Right? And it coincidentally brings up these three teams. I'm going to read a few of these verses of the song. It starts, God, our heavenly Father, O God, and my Father, who's also in heaven, may the light of this flickering candle illuminate the night, the way that your spirit illuminates my soul. Papa, can you hear me? Papa, can you see me? Papa, can you find me in the night? The night is so much darker. The wind is so much colder. The world I see is so much bigger now that I'm alone. Can you hear me praying? Anything I'm saying, even though the night is filled with voices. I remember everything you taught me. Every book I've ever read. Can all the words in all the books help me to face what lies ahead? The trees are so much taller, and I feel so much smaller. The moon is twice as lonely as the stars are half as bright. Papa, how I love you. Papa, how I need you. Papa, how I miss you. Kissing me good night. Now, I don't know if you remember the movie. If you didn't see it, the scene is really interesting to me. And the prayer that the character in the movie offers, I think it's really telling. And I'm not going to get too much into the plot of the whole movie, although I could tell it. I've seen it many times. But what we see is a character who is struggling. A person who is dealing with some issues. Now, Barbara Streisand is the main character in the movie, and she's made herself pass as a boy so that she could study scripture. Now, imagine that. Having the desire to know the Torah, the instructions, the teachings, enough to go covert. Now, she's very curious and intelligent, and she struggles with her identity in the middle of all that, and she has to go through all this struggle in her life. And I would venture to say that she was doing that because she wanted to know God. Now, this text that we just read introduces us to a difficult time for the people of Israel. Now, remember, it says Samuel is ministering, and that is code for serving, and I think he knew our motto here is reach, teach, and serve, right? You remember that? So I think that he was well aware of that. And he was serving under Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare. Did you catch that? The word of the Lord was rare. And visions, I'm quoting now, were not widespread. Now, I don't know if you have read this passage. I'm sure you have. But did you catch that? The word of the Lord. Visions. Something had happened in the life aspect of this people to the point where the experience with God had been limited. Now, one can assume that God was known not only by Scripture, not only by the Word, not only by the commandments that have been given, but also by experience. And I know that when I say experience, most of you are going to be looking in the roof. And by the way, we're getting the roof, the ceiling all painted this week, so that you will not see that stain anymore. Have you had an experience with God? Have you ever experienced God? Now, I was going to pause here and let you write down about your experience, but I'm not going to do that. But we'll come back to that in a minute. Now, just like in the text, the scene with the song starts with light. Yentl, the character, is addressing God and is praying, and she's lighting a candle and hoping that the light will illuminate the night the way that God's Spirit, remember, illuminates her soul. Now, I want you to hear that and think of an experience with God where you have said something has happened here that I didn't expect. Something has happened in my life that I've been guided through a very difficult time, or that I have seen God at work in a way that you say, only God can do this. And wonder, what is the feeling that you get at that point? And I guess that the light that she's talking about is very similar to the lamp that was out in the temple when Samuel was there. It says that the lamp had not gone out yet, and it was the custom that the temple would be illuminated during the night so that the light of God would be represented. We do that here, right? We do that here. We bring in the light of God for us to remind us that God is present, that God is with us, that we can experience. Hello? That we can experience God. So, it's interesting to me that even Samuel, having the light present, being in the temple with the ark, with all these symbols around him, he still did not know God. He still had not had an experience with God. He had not experienced that revelation of God to him. Now, one could really assess in this case that the world is living in a similar place, isn't it? We have God all around us. God is present, right? But does the world know? Do our neighbors know? Do we know? You know, so many are walking around sort of disconnected from God. And if not by choice, you know, maybe it is by ignorance of what Scripture says. Maybe it is the Word that is missing, right? Come on, people. It's impossible. Yes. The internet out there has the Word all over, right? The Bible is just being repeated and being spread. And how come is it that even when the Word of God is being pregnated, is being preached everywhere, still people are not listening? Maybe he is. A lack of experience with God. Maybe that's what's missing. Maybe that's the point that we are not connecting with. Maybe that is the issue. That we're not seeking to experience love like God in our lives in a real way. Now, there are others that are like Eli's son. We didn't read any about that, but in the previous chapter, we read that Eli's son, both of them, had an interesting existence. I would liken it to the perpetrators of the Me Too movement nowadays. Right? The scripture tells us that they were taking advantage of the women who were serving at the gates of the city. Does it sound familiar? So these guys are working in the temple and serving, and still, man, how many years? This is still happening today. So I tell you, this is what I thought about that, and my conclusion was that it is not lack of the word. Because even people that do know the word are still failing. Now, everybody knew that they were messing around with the women, and the word gets back to Eli. They were sinning against God. Now, today, I don't know, I read a lot of stuff that is really not important, but I read this one, I scratched my head. There's this televangelist called Jesse the Planet. I'm going to name him. He was asking people for $54 million for a new airplane. And this is why he was citing, though, as his rationale. He could go anywhere in the world nonstop. Okay? Now, I think he learned from somebody else. And I'm going to name him too. Kenneth Copeland. He bought a $35 million airplane because he could not stand being with all the demons that are on commercial L flights. You know who he's talking about? You and me. I'm sorry, I digress. But the light of God. God's presence is evident in this world. It is active in this world. The word of God is being spread out unlike at those times, and still we have this situation. I don't know about you, but I need that illumination in my life. In Gentle's case, it's because she was afraid. She was looking ahead at her life and she just didn't know how she was going to deal with it, and she was struggling with that. In Samuel's case, it was because he was innocent. He was still a kid. He didn't have it all. He didn't have all that experience to come into play for him. She says, the night is so much darker. The wind so much colder. The world is so much bigger. Now that she's alone. So she cries out, Papa, to the Father. So there's that familiar connection that I mentioned, right? Papa. Daddy. Papito. My daughter says, Papito Dios. Daddy God. I mean, I don't know when you hear that, what goes through your mind. But I know that when I say daddy, and as I spent some time with my dad, I just sat next to him, and I just felt that easiness. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. That easiness of seeing next sitting next to my dad. And it makes me think that that familial connection is all about security. It is, yes, about comfort. Although not necessarily the comfort that we think of when we're talking about an a jet plane or an airport, an airplane or a 20-bedroom house or whatever, you know, that we think of when we think of comfort. I sit next to my dad and I feel assured. And we will know that it is not all money that provides comfort, right? I'm going to name a few names here. Freddie Prinze, Margot Hemingway, Kurt Cobain, Junior Seau, Kate Spade, Anthony Bourdain. Have you heard those lately? What do all these names have in common? Suicide. But they also have something else. They're all famous people. They were all wealthy. They all had what the world is seeking and still ended up with no purpose in their lives. They had no sense of selves. They did have cars, houses, fame, all the goodies, but something was missing. You know what I think of when I read these names? And I read a whole bunch of other names. I thought of the issue of mental health and how it does not discriminate. Our Father in heaven. You see, that Father in heaven provides a comfort that the world cannot provide, that all the wealth of the world cannot provide. Maybe you remember this. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I mean, what a dad, right? What a dad. Or you can say, even though I may go through the most difficult times in my life, I'm cool. I'm cool because I know you got my back. I know that you are there. And no matter what happens, you know, I can trust that you're in my life. Sort of what Jamie was talking about a little earlier, right? Now, God is a great dad, and we see Eli sort of serving as the surrogate daddy for Samuel. But this is a point in time where things are going to change. For Samuel, he was looking up to Eli, right? When he heard the voice, Samuel, Samuel, what do you do? Yes, Eli, what do you need, right? What is going on? What can I do? And at this point in time, something was going to happen where his relationship of fatherhood, a familial connection was going to change. God was going to take over. And God was going to direct him. God was the one that was going to lead him and guide him in the ways of serving in his lifetime. What an experience, right? To start such a relationship, hearing the words of God calling to him. Okay. What's your experience? Have you heard God calling? Have you heard God's voice saying, you know what? I got something for you, and it's good. It might not be comfortable, but it'll bring you comfort. How is it going? I mean, many times we go through life and we don't even think about this. How is my relationship with my Father going? How is my relationship with my God going? Is it growing? Now, I've heard a lot, and I know, I mean, I got plenty more, believe me. I could continue, but I better shut up. There's a third thing here. In order for us to grow in relationship, we need to learn to listen, right? Now, listening, I know it's sometimes used even to make puns on the internet. You know, Linda, you don't listen. There was a little video of a little, you know, a little kid saying, yeah, listen, mama, you don't listen. Listen to me. For any relationship to develop, listening has to be involved. Now, God called Samuel 3 times, right? And then there's a 4th one. The 3 times he did not hear that it was God. He thought it was Eli. So obviously there was a disconnection here, right? Obviously he was listening to something else and he was going to the default. He went in his mind, he says, okay, this is Eli, so I know that voice, I better just go to him. And I wonder how many times in our lives we hear God calling us and saying something to us and we fall into the same pattern. We go back to the same thing because it's what's familiar with us. And we don't hear that it is God speaking. Now we all need training, right? In the listening part? Don't we? Yeah, I know. I know I got women all over me. I mean, I know, I hope you know what I'm saying. My wife reminds me all the time. And all the women in my life do too. But, you know, I spent some time with my mom. She's still training me. Now, I heard yesterday a quick one. This, I'm going to be done here soon. A friend goes to visit another friend. He's in a barn, and he goes in there, and the friend is naked, dancing around the tractor, a John Deere. So he asks him, hey, well, what are you doing? He says, well, I went to my psychologist. He says, if I want to have a better relationship with my wife, I better do something to a tractor. I missed a word. I needed something sexy to attract her. But I think you get the point, right? Sometimes we're hearing, but we're not listening. Sometimes we hear very well. Yeah, I hear you, Dad. Yeah, I hear you, wife. Yes, I hear you. But we may not be listening. We may not be taking the time and to really tune in. And this is what Samuel had to do. He's like had to change those knobs. The old days, you know, he had that, you know, get it tuned into where he says, okay, God, speak to me. Again, I want to ask you again, have you heard God's voice lately? Where is it that you're getting your inspiration? Maybe as a father or a grandfather or as a mother or a grandmother or as a husband or as a wife or as a friend or as a sister or as a brother. Where is it that you're getting your source of life? Where does it come from? Maybe I like just to echo the words of Samuel. Do speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Let's pray. Dear Father, we are here in this place, a place where we come and visit because we want to be with each other, but we want to be with each other to recognize you, to lift your name up, to say to you that we love you, to express the things that we cannot necessarily easily express on our own. And we gather together to come and to say to you, we love you, Dad. And I pray, Father, that in that prayer that we offer, we may train ourselves to actually do more listening. That we may get into that path of a point of hearing and doing. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.